Please join now in reading together the chalice lighting, which is printed in your order of service. We gather together as people of faith with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. Please rise now as you are willing and able to sing the first hymn of the morning, which is in our new hymnal, which is a gift to this congregation. And we will be dedicating this hymnal at a later date, but this is our maiden voyage with this songbook. And so number 1010, We Give Thanks. This is a time in our service for the story for all ages, and so the children are invited to come forward to me. Good morning. Today I'm going to be talking to the parents about death, and it's not really going to just be talking about death, it's going to be talking about after a person has died, the kinds of things that we remember about that person, the things that make us happy when we think about them, or maybe sad because they've died, and we're just going to be reflecting about that, and we're going to talk about different traditions that talk about death and think about death and think about the dead people in a particular way. So what I wanted you to think about today is there's a story, there's a Jewish story, and it has to do with something called the sorrow tree. And the theme of the story is this, that there was a woman who was very, very, very sad, and she came to the rabbi, and she just said, I just feel like I can't go on. I just feel like there's so many sadnesses in my life. My cow has died and my horse has died and my children have grown up and moved away and I can't find my cat and I don't know where my mittens are and I just can't find anything and my best friend has moved away and I always did everything with my best friend every day and I just feel really, really sad. And the rabbi said, you know what? Everybody in the world at one time or another feels sad. And so what I have here is something called the sorrow tree, which is right here. And it has beautiful birds in it, which are about beauty and flying away and taking your sorrows. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to write down what makes you sad on a piece of paper and hang it on the sorrow tree. And when it's on the tree, then you don't have that sadness inside of you anymore because it's right here. And the birds will take it and it will give a message to God or to the universe. And you don't have to feel sad anymore. So what I want you to do here is I have paper and I have some pens, and I would like you to think about something that's a little bit sad, and you can write it, and if you need help writing, I can help you. Write it on this piece of paper, so choose your color and choose your pen. I can help you. I'll be really happy to help you. And then here's the pen here. You can take a color. You can pass the basket of pens around. Maybe there's one. Okay, so I want you to all stand up. And I want you to talk into the microphone so everybody can hear you, and you can just read what you wrote or tell what you said, and then you hang it on the tree.
Our fish died.
Your fish died. Go hang it on the tree. You want to say what you said? When I get hurt. Okay, that's good. When I get hurt, you want to go hang that up on the tree. You can just put it on a branch on the tree here.
I'm scared of werewolves.
Okay. Go hang that on the tree.
My grandpa died.
Okay. Go hang it on the tree.
The Patriots lost.
Okay.
My cat is almost dead.
Okay, go hang it on the tree.
I'm sad about my friend moving away.
Okay. My fish died.
My brother only thinks about Star Wars.
My dog died.
My cat died. Star Wars isn't real.
My friend hasn't been coming over as much as in the summer.
Okay. Did you know what you want to say? No, you can go hang it on the tree if you want to. Okay. Did you know what you want to say? Do you want to just go hang it then? Just a thought. Okay, so what's going to happen now? How do you feel hanging this on the tree? Feel a little bit better? That's good. Think about that. If you feel sad, just say, I hung that on the sorrow tree. And that's now the birds are going to carry that away, and my thoughts are there. So that's something that you can do in the future when you feel sad. Give it away to something else. All right, that's the end of the story. Thank you very much for sharing today. We're now going to do the offertory. And this is a time in our church where we are growing and have a vision for ourselves, and the more that we are able to give to this congregation and to this building, and just it creates a generosity to the lives of the people who sit here and who have yet to discover this place of worship and meaning. So thank you.
Now is a time in our service when we can all share our own great joys or sorrows with the rest of the congregation. If you choose to share, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. Please briefly tell us your name and the joy or concern you wish to share. I will light a candle to visibly represent your joy and or concern to be held in our thoughts and prayers. In this sharing, may our sorrows be lightened and our joys multiplied. First, I will light the memorial candle to acknowledge the many conflicts in the world. May a peaceful resolution be found to them.
My name is Mike, and I have a profound joy to share. This might sound kind of weird as a joy, but those who heard my sermon of a couple months ago will understand what I'm talking about. I found a nonviolent and non-confrontational way to silence my tormentor, and I'm very happy about that because for me that's a real strong emotional breakthrough, and it took me 58 years to do it, but I finally did it.
I'm Eric. I have a sorrow. A good friend of ours, Michelle Krauska, has been diagnosed with melanoma for the second time and is having surgery on Thursday.
I have a joy to share. One of our students that we were working with in Milwaukee was arrested, which might seem like not a joy. But what we found out is it was a gang-related incident, and he had been involved in gangs. And since he started being tutored, he actually had stopped his gang activity. And as a result of us working with him, we're going to get him moved to a different school, away from the gangs that he's involved with. And his school is actually supporting him because he had stopped skipping classes and he started turning in homework. So we would never have known that if he wasn't arrested.
I'm Jerry, and today is the 44th anniversary of Esther and my wedding.
I'm Amy, candle of joy for the new colors that we have in our sanctuary. I'd like to have a candle of sorrow lit for Kathy Gorski, who is a member of our congregation. Her mother died on Tuesday, so in memory of Kathy's mother.
I'm Kristen. I have three sorrows, but you can write one candle. Our next-door neighbor and good friend, Dan, was recently diagnosed with cancer. We have two close friends that are going through divorces as well.
I'm Sonia. I'd like to light a candle of sorrow for a colleague of mine who lost her father 2 months ago, found out she was pregnant, and lost her mother last week, very unexpectedly.
I will light one final candle for all the joys and concerns we hold in our hearts.
We will now take a few moments for, actually 2 minutes, approximately, for silent meditation, prayer, and reflection. And I will lead us into that by doing a reading by Max Kutz. When love is felt or fear is known, when holidays and holy days and such times come, when anniversaries arrive by calendar or consciousness, when seasons come as seasons do, old and known, but somehow new. When lives are born or people die. When something sacred sensed in soil or sky. Mark the time. Respond with thought or prayer or smile or grief. Let nothing living slip between the fingers of the mind. For all of these are holy things we will not, cannot find again. You may remain seated as we sing the centering hymn, which is entitled Comfort Me, and again it is in this blue songbook, number 1002.
This reading is from Thomas Wolfe, called Some Things Will Never Change. Some things will never change. Some things will always be the same. The voice of the forest water in the night, a woman's laughter in the dark, the clean, hard rattle of raked gravel, the cricketing stitch of midday in hot meadows, the delicate web of children's voices in bright air. These things will never change. The glitter of sunlight on roughened water, the glory of the stars, the innocence of morning, the smell of the sea in harbors. These things will always be the same. The feathery blur and smoky buddings of young boughs, and something there that comes and goes and never can be captured, the thorn of spring, the sharp and tongueless cry. These things will never change. The leaf, the blade, the flower, the wind that cries and sleeps and wakes again, the trees whose stiff arms clash and tremble in the dark, and the dust of lovers long since buried in the earth. All things belonging to the earth will never change. All things proceeding from the earth to seasons, all things that lapse and change and come again upon the earth, these come up from the earth that never changes. They go back into the earth that lasts forever. Only the earth endures, but it endures forever. The tarantula, the adder, and the asp will also never change. Pain and death will always be the same. But under the pavements trembling like a pulse, under the buildings trembling like a cry, under the waste of time, under the hoof of the beast above the broken bones of cities, there will be something growing like a flower, something bursting from the earth again, forever deathless, faithful, coming into life again, like April.
January. In the Midwest, this is a month of bitter cold and deep snows, where any notion of spring or summer is truly but a dream. Everything is still and white and dead. When I was in Sweden recently, one of my friend's husbands died unexpectedly. Since I was there for a few weeks over Christmas and New Year's, I assumed I would be there for his funeral, since in the United States, a funeral must take place 3 days after a death, unless there are extenuating circumstances. I don't know why that's the rule. I haven't looked it up. I just know that that is the practice. But in Sweden, a funeral won't occur for weeks, sometimes not even for months after the death. I was surprised to hear this, and my first question was, why was there so much time that passed between death and a funeral? And I was told that it was a practice that came into being historically because of the great distances people had to travel to get one from one place to another in that long country. And since family is so very important in Sweden, it has always been an expectation that everyone comes to a funeral. And so time must be permitted for that to happen. And so my second question was, where is the body kept during that long period? And the answer was, in a blanket of ice. Thus the title for my sermon today. In a blanket of ice. It was a beautiful image, and one that caused me to think about the traditions we have carved out for ourselves as humanity in order to attend to the end of life. And when we carve out those traditions, what is it that we contemplate about the living of life before death takes place? And in thinking about that, I was reminded of a beautiful Japanese film I had seen last year entitled Departures, which is the film we will be showing right after the service today. In watching that film, the tradition of coffining was something that I learned about. And it came to mind when I was given the Swedish image of a body being kept under a blanket of ice before a burial. Beauty was the image that came to my mind. Beauty created in the caring for the dead, a fairy tale image of Snow White and her crystalline tomb, or of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet laid out in their finery on slabs of cold marble. Beauty, created for the dead, in great juxtaposition to the often gray everydayness of life the majority of us live or feel that we are living. Beauty created perhaps not only to honor the life of one now dead, but perhaps also to bring beauty into the life of the still living, to awaken our senses, to snap us into consciousness about the fleetingness of life, to slow down, to be intentional, to pay attention to now, to today, to this very moment when we are here, still alive. Traditions of beauty surrounding the dead have existed since time immemorial. And today I just wanted to present a few of those traditions for your own contemplation, for your own consideration, for your own lives, and for your own someday deaths. For living life means dying. But the importance of that dying is that it can serve as a reminder to us in how to live our lives. If there is any tradition in Ireland that is common among Irish families, it would be that of a burial of a loved one. Ireland is known for its wakes, for the keenings of the women, for the strong drink and hot food and fabled stories of those now deceased. It is believed that the origin of the Irish wake originated with the Celts, who believed that when a person died, they were moving on to a better life after death, and that this was cause to celebrate. A room is prepared for the deceased to be laid. A window is opened for 2 hours to allow the spirit of the deceased to leave the house. And no one must stand or block the path to the window, as this may prevent the spirit from leaving and could bring misfortune to the person who blocks the route. After those 2 hours have passed, the window will be closed tightly in order to prevent the spirit from re-entering the house again. The body is then washed and dressed, and if the deceased is a man, he will have been freshly shaved. A rosary is then wrapped around the hands of the deceased and a cross placed around his neck. Candles are set at the head and the foot of the coffin and remain lit while the deceased is still present in the house. Family members or close friends will stay with the deceased at all times, taking it in shifts to watch over the departed. And all of the clocks in the house will be stopped at the time the person died, and all of the mirrors will be covered or turned to face the wall as a mark of respect. Although death is a sad occasion, a traditional Irish wake is seldom solemn. Friends and family alike gather and share memories and funny stories about the deceased. Food and drink is always present, and although the church tried greatly for centuries to ban alcohol from the wakes, it was quite unsuccessful. Depending on the religion of the deceased, the rosary is said twice a day with everyone in the house present to say the responses. And then, around midnight, a special rosary for the dead is said by all in attendance. A wake can last for days, and it will end when the body is taken out of the house for the last time and moved to the local church. On the day of the funeral, the coffin is carried by 6 men, and a hearse leads the procession to the church, with family and friends walking behind the carried coffin. The funeral mass is held with both priest and loved ones speaking about the achievements made by the departed, and then the coffin is closed and carried by family and friends to the cemetery. And if the procession happens to pass the house of the departed, it will stop as a mark of respect. There, in the silence of the street, all will stop. A moment of reflection, a remembrance of a life lived. There are relatively few cremations in Ireland. Cremations are also rare, for example, in France and in Sweden and in China and perhaps in other countries as well. Both in Sweden and in France, they are countries with a history of state churches, France being Catholic and Sweden being Lutheran. But even now, although people no longer go to church for the most part, there is still a church service for the dead, followed by a burial. In France, 2 or 3 days before the burial, friends and family come to pay the last respects of the body. And in Sweden, the visitation is for half a day, with the burial the day after. Neither in France nor in Sweden do they embalm the body. And after the visitation, with only family present, the casket is closed. And in France, after the casket is closed, with family watching there, standing close nearby, screws are placed into the casket, and then wax is poured over the screw heads. This is often a very intense and meaningful moment when it occurs, for it is a sign of finality, a distinct visual statement that life is over. The next day is the funeral, usually followed by a quiet meal in a good restaurant, and only family is present. As far as cremation goes, in both France and in Sweden, there is a special section in those cemeteries where ashes are scattered, layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon life upon life. In France, this place is called the Garden of Remembrance, and in Sweden, it is called the Grove of Memories. In China, according to traditional Buddhist belief, if funeral arrangements aren't properly made for the deceased, bad fortune is sure to follow the family for quite some time. Before death even occurs, the soon-to-be bereaved family begins an age-old ritual whereby all statues of deities in their home are covered with red paper to prevent their spirits from visiting the home. Mirrors are taken down and put away, because ancient Chinese superstition dictates that if one sees the reflection of a coffin, another death is imminent. Immediately after death, a pristine white cloth must be hung from the frame of the front door of the deceased's home, and usually a family gong will be placed outside. And tradition mandates that it be placed to the right of the door if a woman has died, and to the left of the door if a man has died. The body is cleaned thoroughly and powdered with talc before being dressed. The Chinese believe that dressing a corpse in red will turn them into an unfriendly ghost, so no red clothing is permissible. The body is then covered with 2 separate cloths, yellow over the face and blue over the body. And then the deceased is placed in the coffin. The coffin stands inside the house if a person passed away at home, and outside the house if they died somewhere else. A wake is held, and mourners come throughout the day, or days, depending on the financial means of the family, to offer prayers and to donate money to the family and to make offerings to the dead. And a monk is present the entire time. For, according to Chinese beliefs, the dead may be subjected to torture to pay for their sins, and a monk's continuous prayers are believed to help their spirit transition from death to heaven. And after the prayer ceremonies, the coffin is finally closed. And when this occurs, everyone present turns their backs, because superstition says that it is unlucky to watch while a coffin is closed. The closed casket is set by the side of the road in front of the house of the deceased, and prayer continues for the soul. And after those prayers are finished, the coffin is put in a hearse. And according to tradition, family members of the dead must lean their heads upon the hearse before it begins its journey to the cemetery as one final gesture of love and eternal connection. And then they walk alongside or directly behind the hearse for the first mile of the journey to the cemetery. And when the gravesite is reached, everyone again turns their backs. For it is believed that watching the coffin being removed from the hearse or being lowered into the ground is considered to invite exceptionally bad luck. And after the coffin is in the ground, each family member will throw a handful of dirt upon it, which is done to show respect and to say final goodbyes. Cremation occurs rarely in the Buddhist tradition, whereas in the Hindu religion, it is a funeral that is rare. A belief in the cyclical reincarnation of the soul is one of the foundations of the Hindu religion, and death is viewed as a natural aspect of life. And there are numerous epic tales and sacred scriptures and Vedic guidance that describe the reason for death's existence, the rituals that should be performed surrounding it, and the many possible destinations for the soul after departure from its earthly existence. And while the ultimate goal is to transcend the need to return to life on earth, all Hindus believe that they will be reborn into a future that is based primarily on their past thoughts and actions. Cremation is a ritual designed to do much more than to dispose of the body, however. It is intended to release the soul from its earthly existence. Hindus believe that cremation, compared to burial, is most spiritually beneficial to the departed soul. This is based on the belief that the astral body will linger as long as the physical body remains visible. If the body is not cremated, the soul remains nearby for days or even months. The standard cremation ceremony begins with a ritual cleansing, dressing, and adorning of the body. And the body is then carried to the cremation grounds as prayers are chanted to Yama, invoking his aid. And then the chief mourner, who is usually the eldest son, takes twigs of holy grass, lights, and sets it to the pyre upon which the dead has been laid. He then walks around the pyre counterclockwise, for it is said that everything is backward at the time of death. And as he walks round the pyre, his sacred thread, which usually hangs from the left shoulder, has been reversed to hang now from the right. And in the lighting of the fire, there is within this gesture an offering to heaven. And after the corpse is almost completely burned, the chief mourner performs the rite called the rite of the skull, which is cracking the skull with a long bamboo stick, thus releasing the soul from entrapment in the body. And after the cremation, the ashes are gathered and thrown into the river, ideally the Ganges River, and the mourners walk away without looking back. The death ritual for Hindus does not end with the elimination of the body, for there is still the safety of the soul to look after. To ensure the passage during its voyage to the other world, an 11-day ritual called Shraddha is performed. It consists of daily offerings of rice balls called pindas, which provide a symbolic transitional body for the dead. And during these days, the dead person makes the journey to the heavens or the world of the ancestors or to the far shore. and on the 12th day, it is understood that the soul has reached its destination. In Hinduism, under no circumstances should the body be embalmed or organs removed for use by others, for they will be needed for the journey ahead. While mourning is never suppressed or denied, the Hindu scriptures admonish against excessively lamenting, and they encourage joyous release of celebration instead. The belief is that the departed soul is acutely conscious of emotional forces that are directed toward it, and prolonged grieving can hold it in earthly consciousness, inhibiting full transition to the heavenly worlds. Although these traditions are different, and although some say face the casket and some say turn away, and some say lament and cry and keen, and others say rejoice, these are all traditions of solemnity and prayer and conscientious attention to the life of the soul. It is conscientious attention to the soul as much as to the life and the heart and the mind of the individual who has died and is now being reflected upon and given due respect. Death gives us all the chance to frame our own place and our own way in life by giving us time to mourn, time to think and to grieve and to remember, to lament, to forgive, and to connect. Death gives us a boundary within which we are encouraged to contemplate how to walk upon this earth, how to spend our days, and how to love the world and one another, so that when it is our turn, when we come to die, whether we are set fire to or are placed under a blanket of ice, those who come after us will pause and remember that a life lived well and a death attended to in beauty is where immortality begins. I will now close with these words by John Donne. No man is an island, entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Thank you. We have, we have no time for a polylog because we have a movie that we're going to start promptly so that people will stay for the movie. You will please stay for this beautiful, amazing movie, and you will get to the game on time. So now I will read the closing words. We have to sing our hymn. Yes. Shall we gather by the river? And please stand as you are willing and able. It's number 1046.